again, never pray with a closed heart, a heart closed to anyone in your life. In other words, forgive the injuries, real, unjust injuries you received. The next recommendation spells out the way we should pray. Pray with a sinless heart. God hears our prayers in the measure that we are trying to live sinless lives. And among the sins, we should be sure are none of our souls, our sins against chastity. I'm a man, masculine gender, priest for over 50 years. I know what I'm talking about. In God's name, cultivate, pray for a chaste heart. Again, when you pray, seek first and mainly for the kingdom of God. In other words, seek to reach heaven. You're here on earth only a very short time. A very short time. You're made for heaven. That's what we should seek to reach. Everything else, I repeat, I mean every syllable, is a dream. Again, how should we pray? As Christ tells us, with a childlike faith, believing far beyond what we can understand or feel. We see the Lord's Prayer. None of us fully comprehends the meaning of a single word in the Lord's Prayer. Do you hear me? We are to grow in our faith. Then, are we to pray with a childlike boldness, thanking God, here before we receive the gifts we are praying for? What a statement. Because God owes us nothing, absolutely nothing. Second last, the most important spirit with which we should pray is to conform our wills with the divine will. Everything else in life is meaningless unless our wills are bent on conforming to the will of God. No matter, well, I know this, and how painful that will of God may be. Finally, are we to pray? Avoid unnecessary exposure. Avoid unnecessary exposure to temptation. Oh, whatever else I hope to share with you during these days of the retreat, in God's name, I beg you will see the temptations in your life that you must get rid of. Why do we sin? Because we give in to temptation. Why are we tempted? Because stupidly we expose ourselves unnecessarily to more temptations and deeper temptations than God wants to send us. So much for the opening recommendation. And we ask ourselves, and I'm asking this with the church, what are the three principal parables of Jesus on prayer? Have you known Christ taught in everything that he said, but he taught especially in the parables that he gave? Well, there were three parables which Christ synthesized the meaning of prayer. And the first parable, remember, was the importunate friend. Remember, Christ's lesson to us, to keep knocking at the door. Keep praying. And the stress is on the verb keep. Continue praying. And what is God telling us? He is God, not we. Whatever we need from him. We must ask him. I've been asking and asking, begging, keep asking, keep begging. The second parable was the story of the, what we call, the importunate widow. Remember, she kept begging, pleading. Teach us to pray always without ceasing. But we are to pray with patience. Just because we've asked for something, God hear it, does not have to give it to us. And finally, the strange episode of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Remember, the prayer of the tax collector. He prayed, but he prayed as though God owed him what he prayed for. He must keep begging, keep pleading. Hear it. God does not have to give us what we ask for. We are creatures. He alone is the creator. That is why the church keeps repeating the prayer, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Only God knows how many will reach heaven. But this we can say, those alone will reach heaven who have prayed humbly and constantly and perseveringly. Now we ask ourselves, what did Jesus introduce in the practice of prayer? Jesus told us to pray to the Father in His name. That is not a simple statement. Jesus, remember, though man was the Son of the living God, He promised to send us another advocate, provided we pray, who is that advocate? Is the Holy Spirit. But we shall receive the Holy Spirit only when we pray and beg of Jesus Christ to give us the graces which the Holy Spirit has in store for us. Only then will our joy be complete. I seldom say this, but say it I must. In this world, we're expected to suffer. Do you hear me? We're expected to suffer. We expect to undergo pain. We're expected to beg and plead and not yet receive. Why not yet receive? Because we have not yet reached home. What a lie this world teaches its followers. This life, this earth, is their home. Not to coin a word, is a hellish lie. Now we ask a strange question. How does Jesus hear our prayers? The answer the church gives us, hears our prayers, even as He heard the prayers of those in Palestine. Hear it. Christ wants to work miracles in answer to our prayers. I mean that literally. St. Augustine says, I quote, Jesus prays for us as our priest. He prays for us as our head. He prays to us, by us, as our God. When we pray, it is God inspiring us to ask for what we need. He prays in us as our head. He prayed, strange statement, to us as our God. Therefore, we are told, let's acknowledge our voice in Him He has a voice in us. Christ prayed and is praying for us. I wish to repeat, I'll keep repeating this. Only those will reach heaven who pray. No one else will make it. Next question. What are the two beginnings when the prayer of Mary is revealed to us? Strange question. Our Lady prayed at the dawn of the Incarnation. Unless she had prayed, we believe God would not have become man. Then Mary prayed at the dawn of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. The Church teaches it was Mary's prayer that brought the Holy Spirit to descend on Pentecost Sunday. Now again, the Church asks, how is the power of Mary's intercession shown for the Divine Son? See what we're driving at. The importance of praying to Our Lady. We need it. At Cana, Mary's intercession brought the first miracle that prefigured, the Church tells us, the miracle of the Eucharist. Christ gave his body and blood at the request of the Church, who is his bride. On Calvary, Mary's silent prayer under the cross entitled her to become the mother of all the living. How this needs to be emphasized. Christ sends us trials. He sends us temptations. He sends us depressions. You might turn to him and beg for help. That is why, what a statement. That is why there are trials in our lives. And the most tried persons were the saints. Suffered deeply. All of this is preliminary to Mary's Magnificat. It is the song of the Mother of God and the new people of God. On both levels, I remind myself, I'm not talking to theologians, but I beg you, while the fruits of this retreat I foresee and I hope for will be and should be, they will read the scriptures, even if it's just a verse every day. Remember, She was just carrying Christ in her womb when she recited the prayer which we call the Magnificat. And in this prayer, which is the song of the poor, we are all poverty stricken. Without God's help, we are literally helpless. How do we obtain what we so desperately need from the mercy of God? By imitating Our Lady in praying, begging, pleading with her, Lord Jesus, how desperately we need your help. We ask you during these days of the retreat to show us what we need to make us resolve to pray more in terms of the time we spend in prayer, and more especially in the earnestness, the zeal with which we beg you, dear Lord, for what we need. Because we believe, dear Lord, only those who reach you in heaven we have prayed you on earth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Copies of this talk are available from the Institute on Religious Life, P.O. Box 41007, Chicago, Illinois 60641, or call area code 773-267-1195.